It's Ireland's most talked about podcast. The only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
Very welcome along to another episode of Opinions Matter, the daily podcast recorded live from our studios here at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock. It's myself, Jeremy Dixon, on my own today, and I'll explain why in a moment. As you know, we regularly get messages from you guys asking us to talk about various topics, and sometimes we get ones that are just heartbreaking and just we can't ignore. We just have to talk to this person. And yesterday was one of those messages that we received. And it's from a listener who has been on the show a couple of times, by the way. And it just shows you, you never know what is going on in someone's life. You know, we talk to you guys on a daily basis, or you send in voice notes about different topics. And we never know in the background what these people are going through. And this particular one is from a listener who we are calling Siobhan. And we've had to disguise her voice as well. And it will become apparently clear why we've had to do that as the conversation goes on. Now, I want to say, and I'm always conscious about this when we deal with podcasts that are of a sensitive nature. There is a trigger warning for this, okay? Because it deals with the topic of rape, sexual assault. We are about to talk to someone who is a victim of that crime. Her name is Siobhan. That's not a real name. We've changed her name to protect her identity and the identity of her family and everybody else involved in this case. But I do want to give a trigger warning right now that if you are affected by listening to topics of this nature, even though it says it in the podcast headline, I just want to give you an extra warning that you could find this triggering. Now, the irony of this conversation is the woman we're about to talk to was triggered herself by a podcast we did last week on, I don't know if you remember this, on that person, Barbie Kardashian. So we did the topic last week about the release of Barbie Kardashian. And this particular listener, Siobhan, happened to be listening to that episode, and that triggered something in her. And again, this will become clear in a moment. I'll just read you a part of the message that we got from Siobhan. And she says, "Hi guys, this is a distressing situation for myself, but I was wondering if your listeners would agree. I'm a victim of rape. I was assaulted while I was drunk and passed out in my own home by an acquaintance that was well known." And then she goes on to say, "I won't lie, I'm shaken even typing this email. I'm so angry." So when someone who's been through something so traumatic as Siobhan has, and she reaches out for us, and I want to say this from the offset, I'm not qualified to, you know, there are people who run rape crisis helplines, and they're absolutely brilliant, and they're trained to deal with situations like this. I will be honest with you, I'm not trained to deal with situations like this. I do have compassion, I have empathy. I'd like to think I'm able to interview people on any subject. But just in case you're asking, well, why are you talking to her? Why is she not talking to experts? You will hear from her herself in a second. She has been speaking to experts. She's been getting counselling. But she reached out to us. You know, we didn't track her down. She reached out to us because she wanted to highlight something that is going on in her life at the moment. And her story will involve graphic descriptions of what happened, because I'm going to be asking her what happened on that night. We're going to be talking about the aftermath of it, whether or not she reported it, and what happened listening to our podcast last week that made her pick up the phone and contact us and talk about something that is so raw, so personal to her as well, and she wants her story to be heard. And that is the reason our podcast and other podcasts exist, okay? To give people a voice. And Siobhan wants a voice, she wants a platform, and she deserves it. And I think you will all agree when you hear her harrowing story, you will agree that she deserves her story to be heard by as many people as possible. And I want you, please, to share this podcast far and wide. Send it to your friends. They need to know what is going on in this country when it comes to sexual assault. Siobhan joins us in a second. Don't go away.
Opinions Matter.
Opinions Matter.
with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
You're very welcome along to Opinions Matter, Siobhan. How are you keeping?
I'm good. I've had better days, but you know what? I'm okay.
And I know that's a silly question to ask, and people will realise that when we get into your story. First of all, before we do delve into your story, why did you reach out to us? Because I just want to let people know, because people often ask, you know, how do we end up talking to people with their stories and stuff. Why did you reach out to us, and why did you want to share your story?
I have kept my story hidden from everybody for the last 6 years. We're going on 7 now. Last week, the discussion around Barbie Kardashian being released from prison triggered me to a level that I never thought I would actually be at in regards to just anger. It's seeing these people, predators, you know, walk the streets when people know what a danger they are, and the fact that I feel like, and many people like me would feel like, that there's just no protection for women, and especially people that have been victims of sexual assault.
So with that in mind, let's go back to 6 years ago. Now, I just want to let the listeners know that this story has a lot of facets to it. It's been going on, as you say, for 6 years. There's a lot of information in it for people to take in. It's horrific. There's parts of your story that are horrific. I want to say, and I don't want this to come across patronising at all, I think you're very, very brave coming on and talking to us about it. I think any woman who's been a victim of sexual assault is very brave to, first of all, very brave to go ahead and pursue the person through the legal channels. And secondly, for talking about it openly. And if I say anything or I ask any questions that are triggering for you, because I'm not trained in talking to sexual abuse survivors or sexual assault survivors, so if there's anything you don't want to answer, just feel free to do so. But I do want to say it's so brave of you to talk about it, because it must be the most impossible thing for you to talk about, because from what I believe, from what I understand, Siobhan, you've only spoken to one other person about this. Only one other person knows.
There was one person that knew about it that was there on the night of the actual assault. It was kept between myself and herself for up to 5 years, up until last August. And then I started telling people, but only a handful of people. And even then, I tried to hide it. I still tried to hide it. I just was only told only a handful of people because it was brought out into the open with my attacker. And I said I had to tell them because I was afraid it would get back to them. So I told them my story. But even at that, I've tried to still wear this mask and hide for the last year. I had obviously gone down the road of reporting it, but still trying to hide how I am, still trying to hide how I feel, how it's affected me, still pretending to try to be okay. But now I'm sick of hiding it, because it's not my shame. It's not for me to hide. It should be for the other person to hide and not me. And I just think that I'm at that point where I'm saying I shouldn't have to live in a dark hole for the rest of my life because of something that was done to me.
Let's go back 6 years to that night. And again, whatever details you want to go into, feel free to do so. Obviously, we have to protect, we're protecting your identity and everybody else's identity in this. We have to be careful what information we do give. But what happened 6 years ago?
Myself and my friend, we were out on a night out. We were at our local place that we would go to for years. The manager of the particular club that we were at, the end of the night, we were saying, right, come on, we go back to my house. My kids were with grandparents, and obviously we go back up, have a late drink, and I fell asleep, and I don't know how long I was asleep for, but I woke up and he was essentially sexually assaulting me. I didn't know where my friend was. I didn't know who the other person that was with us was. I just lay there frozen, not realizing what was actually happening to me, but too afraid to move. And I would have always have been of the mindset, if something like that happened to me, I'd fight. But I didn't, because I was afraid of how much worse it could get. And eventually, he heard my friend coming. She came in. He jumped off me. She knew something was after happening, but she just couldn't say what was after happening. So I ran out of the room to my bedroom. He followed me. He tried to get into my bed. There was a bit of me shouting and screaming. My friend had to get him to leave. I eventually told him what he had properly done. And I went into full-blown panic attack mode to the extent where I passed out. The next morning, he apologized to her to tell her, I'm sorry for what I did. She said, it's not me you need to apologize to. It was me. And it never came to be. So at that point, I just said, you know what, just close it off. Never speak about it again. I have kids to focus on and a house to run. And that was my dealing with it. Up until last August, when he confronted me in another place where he pretended he didn't know why I wasn't speaking to him. He pretended he didn't know what he had done wrong.
And sorry, this is even, to go back to that night, this is even after he said to your friend, then was it the next day or was it the same night that he apologised for his behaviour?
Within a matter of, I'd say, probably 12 hours, he apologised the next day.
Can she, or can you, from hearing it from her, Siobhan, can you remember the exact words he said?
She had said, you were an absolute disgrace last night. Your behaviour was bang out of order. And he said, I know, I'm so sorry for what I did. I shouldn't have done it. I'm so sorry. And she said, it's not me you need to apologise to. It's who you need to apologise to. She's the one you did it to. And he said, I know, I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed. Jesus. And that was that. That's exactly what he said.
That's putting it lightly. And when you had passed out, was there a possibility that your drink had been spiked on the night out, that he had put something in it?
No, I'd be very careful about stuff like that. Be careful, you know, about leaving drinks and stuff like that around. I just overindulged, as most of us do on a night out. I was at home, I was comfortable in my own house, you know, and that was that, you know. So it wouldn't have been any possibility of that happening.
And by the way, I'm not asking you that to shame you or anything. I'll be saying, hey, I didn't ask him what you had to drink because it's irrelevant. In the same case, and this is what annoyed me the whole time, there's a lot of similarities between this and the McGregor case, and what annoyed me about that was, you know, people questioning what substances Nikita had taken on that night. It's completely irrelevant what substances you have in your body. No man has a right to do that to you.
Exactly. That's the thing, you know. I could have been lying there stark in the nip if I wanted to. He still had no business in putting his hands anywhere near me. You know, I remember, it's gas because I remember every detail from start to finish of that night. Every detail. I remember exactly what he brought to my house to drink. I remember how much he drank. I remember every conversation, absolutely everything. I can relay in detail dates, times, everything. You know, so there's no question of my awareness at the time. It was just that I had gone asleep on the couch from the drink, and that's what I woke up to.
Now, you say at the time you didn't report it, you were embarrassed and ashamed. You also said to us in the message you sent that you felt like you had put yourself in that situation, which you should never think that way, and I understand why you would think that way. Also because of your children, you didn't want people being affected by it. Was it an easy or hard decision to make not to pursue this?
It was an easy decision because my kids come first in every decision I make. From the minute I wake up till the time I go to sleep, they come first. One of the main reasons as well was that I said if I report this, my husband at the time would have killed him. And I said I didn't want my kids visiting their father in prison because he would have gone that far. You know, and I said I had them to think about and how I need to protect them from this. It was easy, but it was very hard to live with because I was living in a house, you know, that was completely tainted by this dirt. Do you know what I mean? It was very hard to sit and look at my kids playing on the couch that this happened. It was very hard to, you know, to just look at my sitting room the same way. You know, my son used to sleep in the bed with me. I stopped him from sleeping in the bed with me from the next night because that man tried to get into my bed. It didn't just change for them. It changed for me, but I was the only one that knew about it.
Of course, and it is so difficult for women to come forward and report stuff. And that's why I have so much respect for what Nikita Han did. I've gotten to know Nikita quite well over the last year. And, you know, really annoys me when I see commentary online saying she did it for the money and stuff like that, because no woman would go through that for, and I mean this about going public, no woman would go through that for any amount of money. It's horrific to have to relive that, to have to go to court and tell the intimate details of what happened that night. It just, it angers me so much when people say that.
I can understand it, like, beyond words, because I couldn't imagine opening my Facebook every day and seeing his face, because I've only seen this man once in the last year, and it has absolutely destroyed me. Since last year, you know, and I couldn't imagine seeing him every single day, every time I open up my phone. I couldn't imagine how she has been standing strong the whole time. I let him break me last year to a point that I did not know how to even get out of bed. You know, I wasn't affected really after the initial assault. It was only last year when he confronted me.
Okay, we'll talk about it in a second. In the aftermath of it happening, obviously you agreed and you probably spoke with your best friend that you weren't going to pursue this case, you weren't going to go to the guards. Had you got counselling in the 5 years after it? Had you got professional counselling?
No, I didn't. No, I had agreed that I wasn't going to do anything about it. You know, I didn't actually think that, because I don't think it was actually affecting me afterwards, because I just put it to the back of my mind and just get on with my day-to-day life with my kids. And
sorry, is it easy to put something like that to the back of your mind, something so traumatic as that?
For me, it's not that it was easy. I just felt like I just had to. I put on a mask and just got on with day-to-day life. It was there all the time. But because there was only one person that knew about it, it was harder. It was easier to escape it more so, because I didn't have to speak about it. Nobody else would know about it, so there was nobody else to ever even broach the subject. You know, and then I never had to apparently see this person again. I said I never have to see him again. And only that as well, you've got it in your head, what is the point? What is the point in reporting it? Because statistics show, you know, they get a slap on the wrist if even.
It's such a hard crime to prove in a court of law, sexual assault of any kind, because at the end of the day, it comes down to he said, she said, because usually in a situation like this, there's only two people present. Now, in your situation, your friend had got an admission of guilt from him. I don't know if that would have stood up in court or not, but I'm not a legal expert. But the fact that he had actually said that he had done wrong was bizarre, was it not?
It was. When we go then as far up to last year, it's a whole other ball game.
Stay there for a second, please, Siobhan, because I need to take a quick break and you can compose yourself, because we're going to fast forward. So this was 6 years ago. We're going to fast forward. So just for you to pick up on where we are for the listeners, Siobhan decided not to pursue this in a court of law, not go to the guards, because of the embarrassment. I don't know how any woman can. And, you know, I always encourage women to go forward and report sexual assault crimes. But I can also understand why women don't. And you just have to look at the backlash that Nikita Hand got when she bravely came forward to talk about that night with McGregor. You know, it's something that not many women are able to do. And that's why so many people get away with it. But when it comes down to it in a court case, it can be a very hard thing to prove sexual assault. So we're going to come back to Siobhan in a moment and fast forward 5 years and find out what triggered Siobhan to make her actually go to the Gardaí and pursue this case.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
So Siobhan, we're going to fast forward 5 years, and this was 1 year ago. So at this point, you have not reported this person to the Gardaí. You haven't gone to the Rape Crisis Centre. You've just tried to get on with your life as best as possible and as normal as possible. What happened a year ago to make you change your mind?
So myself and the same friend, we're friends for a long time. We were out in a different place, and I was out smoking here talking to a friend, brother, and she came out and she said, "He's here." She had obviously told me who he is. He's here, and so I seen him coming in, and I says, "Okay." I got an overwhelming, not a sense of fear, but anger when I heard that he was in the same location as.
And sorry, had you not seen him or come across him in any way, shape, or form in that 5 year period following that night?
No, because he was let go from the particular place that he was working in at the time, and he doesn't live in the area. So I didn't see him at all. And thank God, you know, because I didn't realise how this was going to be if I had actually seen him. So when he eventually, he walked past me and he's like, I know you. And I said, yeah, I know. So keep moving. And he was like, what's wrong with you? Why won't you talk to me? And I said, you know, fuck off and leave me alone. You know, excuse, but I did. I just said, just leave me alone. Don't come near me. And then over the next couple of hours, he spent the next couple of hours stalking me, looking over people's shoulders, staring at me. Everywhere I seemed to go, he was there, you know, and he came over to me time and time again. Why won't you talk to me? What's going on? And eventually I lost it. And I said, you're the most disgusting man I've ever had the displeasure of meeting in my whole life. Now get the fuck away from me before I do something I won't regret. And he said, you weren't saying that 5 years ago when I was inside you. That's what he said to me. He pretended all night he didn't know why I wasn't speaking to him. But that was the first words out of his mouth. But he said it with such an evil grin on his face. And he was gloating with what he did. He started relaying details to me. And while I'm screaming at him.
Sorry, details of what happened. First of all, the first thing he said to you, regardless of whether or not it was sexual assault, which it was, by the way, you don't say that to someone, but saying it to a sexual assault victim as well, goading you on, you must have just wanted to hit him there and then.
I went to, but somebody stopped me. And I was screaming at him, you're a dirty rape. And what he said out loud was, yes, I am, and what are you going to do about it?
Oh, my God. He was aware of the night. He was aware of exactly what happened. And rather than coming up on it, because it was the first time he'd obviously seen you since this happened, so rather than going up and apologising to you and begging for forgiveness, and you would have been right not to forgive him, by the way, rather than do that, he tried to be the smart aleck about this and rub it in your face.
Yep. And then I had to beg the staff to take him out. I told him what happened, so he got taken out anyway. But I had to stay in there for 2 hours afterwards because he was waiting outside for me. And when I was eventually leaving, they had to nearly make a barrier between them and me to get into a taxi to go home. Of all the times, Jeremy, I've ever gotten a taxi in my whole life, this one taxi that arrived for me was a woman. I'm not afraid of men, but I just needed that to get home. They had to wait to make sure he didn't follow me because he was drink driving. And when I looked up the road, he stood there watching me. He was like, it was like something I've ever felt out of a horror movie, just standing there staring at me. And from that moment, I just felt absolutely just disgusting. I felt terrified. I was just, the feelings I felt were just something that on another level.
But the line that's getting me is him saying, so you say to him, you're a dirty rapist. And his answer to that is, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? That's exactly what he said.
And laughing at you.
I'm laughing. And that's one of the reasons why as well, with last week's interview with Barbie Kardashian, that smile on that person's face is exactly what I looked in the eye.
Why do you think he acted that way? Why do you think he wasn't humble? Why do you think he didn't beg for forgiveness and beg you not to tell anybody about it? You know, why didn't he go up to you and say, what I did that night was absolutely disgusting. You could have had me locked up. You could have gone to the guards. Why do you think he acted in that way?
He's a predator and he don't show remorse. That's the only words I would describe for somebody like him. This is why I'm so angry.
So that night you get in the taxi. Thank God, as you said, it's a female taxi driver because it's easier, a lot of times to talk to this female taxi driver after what's after happening to you when he's literally gone right up to your face. You go home. I'm sure that absolutely ruined your night, brought it all back. Then the next day, what do you decide to do?
Nothing. I stayed in bed for about 2 weeks. I just couldn't function. I couldn't function. I was lucky my partner at the time was there that he was able to help with the kids, but I just couldn't. I made a cave in my bedroom. I couldn't get out. I couldn't leave it. Bert said to go just as far as the bathroom. I just could not leave the house. And it was only when my son, eldest son, came in to me and said, Mommy, are you sick? I said, no, I'm not sick. And that was the turning point for me. Get out of bed, get a shower. And I marched straight down to the guard station within an hour. my kids thought I was sick because of what that man had done to me.
So at this stage, you said enough is enough. I mean, I can only, but I can't imagine what it was like coming face to face with that monster on a night out. And it brings you right back to that night 5 years previous. You end up going down this dark hole, as you said, for 2 weeks. And where did you get the courage from to say, that's it, I'm going to do something about this?
From my son. Because I said that man has taken part of me that belongs to them. And it's not, they don't deserve to see me like this and worry about me because of what he has done. So I rang the Rape Crisis Centre, the DRCC, and the counsellor on the phone said to me, the reason that you are so triggered and feeling this way is because what he did to you that night, like 2 weeks ago, is another form of sexual assault. She said he got off on telling you what he did to you. She said, and that's why you are feeling so low at the minute.
The fact that he described it in graphic detail, what he did that night, is just, I've never heard anything like this before. You know, I've heard of people who commit sexual assault, not apologising, and, you know, but I've never heard of someone literally going up to a victim's face and repeating what he did. Just stay there for 1 second, Siobhan. I need to take a quick break and we'll find out what happened after you went to the guards in a second.
Opinions Matter.
Opinions Matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon.
A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
So, Siobhan, you take the big step, get out of bed after the 2 weeks. What happens then?
So I went to the guard station. I made a report. And then they set up an appointment then to do an official statement. So I was going on holidays with my kids. So I said I wanted to get it done before I went on holiday so I could just go and not worry about it. Just get it to put it to the back of my mind while I'm away. So I was blessed. I had somebody from the DRCC come with me to accompany me. Now, in this time, I had started telling my family because I knew I was going to have to. So I had them for support. It was fantastic. So I went, I made a statement. I told them everything. It took nearly 3 hours to do. So they said they want to get a statement from my friend who still, unfortunately, won't do it. We have fell out. She won't do it because apparently she's in fear. I can't make her. That's fine. But since then, nothing has been done. Absolutely nothing. So I made the statement. It would have been the start of September, and nothing has been done. I had to get to the DRCC to contact the guards again to see what the story was. They said that they were waiting for the sergeant's permission to go ahead and arrest him. I had to tell them where he works. I had to tell them where he lives. I had to tell them all this because they said they couldn't find him. But yet, I'm still waiting for them to make some sort of movement to show me that the reason I came forward was to get something done about it. Because I said to the guards, I said, you can set up a checkpoint 500 metres up the road, stay for 2 hours, but just can't go another 15 minutes to take this monster off the streets.
It seems bizarre that it's taken so long to do this. As you said, you made the big step to go to the Gardaí about this. You gave the statements. Has there been any explanation as to why it's taken so long to pursue this?
I have had no answers whatsoever. Nothing at all, and that's what I need. I need answers. As I said, I've gone in LinkedIn with the DRCC, go to counselling weekly, which is absolutely fantastic. They are just amazing. But there's only 20 sessions per person unless you are involved in domestic sexual assault or child abuse. For people like me, you only get 20 sessions. And it's just wrong because my case hasn't even started. If there will be a case started, if he does get charged, I don't know. But I'm on my own afterwards. And I have just had, I was going to my counselling weekly and just screaming, just anger.
I get that. I can completely understand that. Because he has destroyed your life. And as best you try to get on with it, and it seems like you had, I'm not saying got over it, but you had moved on. in those 5 years, and then that night out just brought it all back, and his disgusting behaviour and the disgusting words he said to you as well.
Yeah. As I said, he gets to live his life without any consequence. But yeah, as I said, I'm that type of person now that has to try put on a brave face every day so my kids are not affected. You know, I said, to having to go on antidepressants to be able to get out of bed in the morning, has to walk around the supermarket with her head down because she's afraid people are going to see the pain all over her face. That was never me. Never, ever was that me. I sit outside a shop and watch the crowds going in and out. Make sure it's not before I win just to get the weekly shop. I sit in my car around the corner from my house at times just to cry so my kids don't see me. I'm so angry at how my life has come to this point, and the guards who are supposed to help you haven't done their job after when they plead and plead and plead with people to come forward and report the result.
I assume you have a guard liaison who is able, who, you know, you have their number and you can ring them at any stage to find out what the update is on this case. It's just bizarre that there's been no contact from them, isn't it?
I have contacted them numerous times between January and July, and the only way they got back to me once was to let me know that they were waiting for the surgeon to give the go-ahead to go and make an arrest, because one of the girls from the DRCC contacted them to get back to me, and that was the only reason that they did, is because they got onto them. Other than that, my messages and my phone calls and emails are falling on deaf ears, and I'm the one that this has happened to.
My heart is breaking for you, Siobhan. It's, you know, because you've done everything the right way. You know, you really have. You stood up that day and you said, I'm not going to let him away with this. I'm going to pursue this. I'm shocked that it's taken so long. I can't imagine what could take so long for this to happen. It's probably the complications are probably added by the fact that your friend or your former friend will not testify now, or won't even give a statement, will she?
No, she said that she doesn't want to, because he knows where she lives and she doesn't worry, she doesn't want that to come to her door, things like that. I think, to be honest with you, it's a load of crap. So I said, I'm just at this point where I just want answers.
And you should be entitled to answers. Now, I'm wondering, the statute of limitations, from what I believe, for sexual assault cases are 6 years from the date of the alleged assault. Have they even said that they have a certain time frame in which they have to either charge this person or not charge them?
No, the girl, the detective I've done the statement with, said that it was still she actually said that she told me that there's no limit.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was 6 years.
Yeah, so it would be coming up to seven. It'd be seven in February. But by the time when I had made the statement, it was still under that anyway, that I would have made the statement, you know. So it's, I'm coming to the end of my counselling as well. I've two sessions left, and for me, it's like, with that, it's like letting go of a life jacket once that's finished. So there's not even really any much support afterwards either, you know. So
I think from talking to you, Siobhan, I think the main thing that's keeping you going is your two kids.
That alone is making me push forward, because I'm trying to... Somebody had actually said to me, what about when this goes ahead forward? You know, because the detective asked me if I want to remain anonymous if he does get charged. I says, I do in my hell want to remain anonymous. I says, because at the end of the day, people need to be aware of who this person is. And if one person, just one person that he might have done it to, comes forward, it could have a huge impact, not for me, but for anybody else. Just for anybody else, because, you know, this is, and from my, somebody said, what about when your kids find out? I says, at least they're going to know that their mommy stood up for herself and remained strong and done the right thing. But it's going to show them how to teach women with respect and what not to do.
Absolutely, 100%. And you should never feel that you've done the wrong thing. I think you're very, very brave. You know, first of all, for doing what you did and going to the guards, and then secondly, for talking to us so openly about it. I mean, you know, thousands of people listen to this podcast. Obviously, we'll have, by the time this goes out, we'll have disguised your voice and your name isn't Siobhan. So, you know, people will hear your story. And I think, it, you know, even though, you know, we haven't reached the end of this story yet, because we haven't had a positive outcome yet, and the guards are taking their time doing this. I think you can rest easy knowing that you've done the right thing, can't you?
I can, and I have from the very start when I reported last year. I knew, but you know what the guards tell you when you do the statement, that's the hard part over. It is, and it's the hard part over. That's not the hard part over. The hard part is the weight and the weight and the weight and the weight that they make you do. And then it's everything in between, you know, the screams, the cries, the anger, everything in between. It's just the statement is not the hard part. And I would urge anybody that has been in that situation that hasn't reported it, that just I would just be gone and do it, and I would. It's not, that's not the hard part. The hard part is 100% afterwards, because it will always, as my counsellor said, these things will always surface one way or another, and you know, you can't bury it forever. And I do get it, and I know there is some people that just cannot and will not ever report. But that wasn't the hard part. I sat through my statement without shedding so much as a tear until they read it back to me. It was like listening to my own horror story. I understand that was hard, but it's so important to report, because you don't know if that person has done it to somebody else that you could be helping.
And I think that is the positive message to take out this horrific story, that if even, and I'm not talking about this the same person that you're talking about, but anybody who's been a victim of sexual assault, and I said this about 20 minutes ago, I can understand why some women don't either, because you know, you see the comments that have gone through on social media, disgusting comments made about Nikita Hand, when all she did was stand up to a powerful, powerful man, and had the balls to stand up to him and say, no, what happened to me was absolutely wrong. I just think you're brilliant the way you've come forward about this.
I won't throw bouquets at myself, I really won't. But, you know, I'm at that point where I'm sick of hiding. I'm sick of hiding. I'm sick of running home and trying to hide this thing that happened to me. I shouldn't have to. And I do, and I was only speaking to my counsellor today, I was saying, after all this is done and over, I'm never going to shut up. And I don't mean that as in I'm always going to be the one that's going to speak about, advocate for people to come forward. I will advocate for more sessions for the DRCC. I will advocate for the guards to give more support to victims, because at the end of the day, this is what has had a detrimental effect on my healing journey from this attack.
And I've no doubt the message you sent out today will prompt other women. Just, Siobhan, while I was talking to you here, Katie's been working in the background here, listening to your story. What do you make of that, Katie?
I kind of looked at Jeremy when you were talking, and particularly the part where you're talking about sitting. Did you say you were sitting as you sit outside the supermarket?
You sit outside the shop, say it would be Spar or something, and I watch the crowds going in just to see, just so I can try gather the numbers to see how many's in there, so I can get in and get out as quick as I can, because I don't like to walk around with people staring at me. It just brings me to a place that it's anxiety, you know, that I feel, because I've hid this for so long, I feel like that I've taken a mask off that will not fit me anymore, and people can see this written all over my face. And I was feeling that this is shame I have all over my face and pain, and now I'm just saying I don't care anymore. I'm sick of hiding my face. I'm sick of walking with my head down and not making eye contact with people. I'm sick of telling my kids, no, we can't go to any rockets today because I don't feel well. I'm sick of telling them, no, we can't go to the Leisureplex for bowling because I just haven't got the money. Things like that. I was making excuses for absolutely everything, to not step outside the door bar, bring them to school.
Listen, the one thing I can hear from this interview and just listening in the background as I'm working away here is your strength is incredible.
Absolutely.
And the way you are taking your experience and you're going to use that to help other women in the same situation as you, that is commendable.
Yeah, it really is. Siobhan, I want you to keep in contact with us. I know you listen to the podcast all the time, and I apologise that one of our episodes actually did trigger you, because I know you did contact us that day. But I want you to stay in contact with us. We want to follow your story. We want updates from you, and the listeners will want to know what's happened. But again, you're so strong. You keep at it and just do what you're doing. Just fight that cause.
Thanks so much. If we just let you know, that podcast that triggered me last week was a turning point for me. It was a turning point. That's what triggered me last week to change exactly my mindset and made me say enough is enough.
Just remember, you're not a victim, you're a survivor. And, you know, I hate when people talk about, you know, domestic abuse or rape and they refer to women or men as victims. They're survivors, and what you're doing is incredible. So you should hold your head high and don't feel any bit of shame. The only person who should be ashamed is the monster.
100%. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That is Siobhan. My God, what a brave, brave woman. That's not an easy thing to talk to us about. Now, as I said, I am not trained in how to deal with sexual...
It's not an easy thing to talk to someone about, because it's so personal and so raw, and you want to be, I suppose, you're conscious the whole time that you want to handle it with the utmost sensitivity.
Yeah.
But she was fantastic. She should be so, and her kids should be so proud of her as well, because that's a strong woman.
But to be able to, you know, you, on this podcast in particular, you know, we often ask people to come on and talk about different topics, and people are, and they could be stupid topics, you know, like, you know, would you put your granny in a home, and they won't come on. I couldn't talk about that. Or even something even more stupid.
More trivial.
Like, you know, should I get a dog? Oh God, I couldn't talk about that. And there, here we have a woman, Siobhan, who's after coming on and talking in graphic detail about the exact things that happened to her on that horrific night. Two horrific nights. Mm. First of all, the night that she was sexually assaulted, and then the night when she bumped into him, where he told her everything. Yeah, when he told her everything. And to be able to come onto a podcast and tell that story, she is a bloody fighter. She really is a fighter.
Help other women who are going through the same thing through her own experience. Yeah. And that's where she'll take a lot of strength from as well.
Cases like this, cases like the Nikita Hand, that women can see, no, I'm not taking any more of this shit.
Where they see that the outcome, you go and you report someone for this. You don't have to lie down and take it. You don't have to let it go. Do you know what I mean? And you see the outcome. Nikita Hand, Conor McGregor he ultimately lost his run in the presidential election because of it. So,
no, but that meant many, many, many other things. Yeah. But can I give you the number for the Rape Crisis Centre, actually? And I hope you weren't triggered by that podcast. But the reason she wanted to come on, well, you heard the story, the reason she wanted to come on was just to tell that story and to get that out there. The number for the Rape Crisis Centre is
1-800-77-8888.
I know this was quite a heavy podcast, but it was an important, this is one of the most important interviews that we've done. And thank you very much for listening to this edition of Opinions Matter. Don't forget, you can subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, and you will be notified anytime we post a new episode of the podcast. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.